Good morning again. It's still good to see you all in the room. And those of you joining online, we're glad you're here. I am going to continue on in our Mic'd Up series this morning, talking about Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to jump into Matthew 6, which is all about treasure. And what do we treasure? And so I thought this morning to get us in the mood of treasures, I would have us talk about what do Americans treasure. So as I was working on this message this morning or this week, I kept thinking about like asking myself, what do I treasure? What are the things that I treasure? You know, and feeling convicted. And then I was thinking, and to make myself feel better, I started looking at what do Americans treasure? What does American culture treasure? And so I did a little top 10 list. Through my research, these are the top 10 things that Americans spend by far the most money on. So, and these are non-essentials. So let me clarify that. These are all the kind of non-essential goods and services, okay? But before I show you my list, I want to give you a minute to shout out. What are things you think that Americans spend their money on? Non-essentials. Food? Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, certain kinds of food could be non-essential. Maybe. Yeah. But certain kinds of food. Yeah. Pets. Yep. Electronics. Pets are essential. Amen. What? Sporting events, vacations. Yes. Okay. You're on the right track. Let's start with number 10. Number 10, do you see what that is? Tobacco products. Woohoo, Americans. Tobacco products made our top 10. It's at the bottom of the list, but it made the top 10. Number 9 that Americans spend the most money on, non-essentials. Number 9 is alcohol. Here we go. Number 8, Americans spend the most money on, yes, tickets, admission. To concerts. Somebody said concerts and movies and that kind of thing. We spend a lot of money on entertaining ourselves or going to events that entertain us. Okay, number 7. What do Americans spend money on? Vacations. Yes. And number 6, Americans spend money on pets. And I tend to agree with you that pets are essential, but they made the non-essential list. So here we go. Pets, not just pets, but like all the stuff, the food and all the grooming. I mean, that's pretty crazy. We spend that much money on our pets. Number 5, what is the 5th thing that Americans spend the most money on? There we go. Video games, TV, and music. All of those services and goods, we spend a whole lot of money on those things. Number 4, I thought this one was kind of tender. Gifts. The number 4 thing that Americans spend their money on is gifts. Maybe not all bad. Gifts are a high spender in this category. Okay, number 3, clothes. Clothes and jewelry, and then it included like all the services around it, like dry cleaning. Apparently, there's a lot of money spent on dry cleaning. Who knew? And that's number 3. Number 2, what somebody said food. Food, even though food is an essential, fast food is not. The number 2 thing Americans spend their most non-essential money on non-essentials is fast food and dining out. Does that surprise anyone? Didn't surprise me either. And number 1, this one did surprise me. Sporting equipment, like for our own entertainment, boats. I was thinking about Noble, who sells motorcycles. We spend the most non-indiscriminate money that Americans spend is on boats, bikes, motorcycles, equipment that's just purely for our pleasure and joy and fun. That's kind of surprising, right? There you go. Now you know. You probably found yourself in this list at least once, maybe twice, maybe all 10 times. But those are some of the things that Americans treasure. And so I want to jump in this morning to Matthew 6. As Jesus talks about treasure and what should we treasure, what does Jesus say about treasure? I did laugh because number 1, I'm like, it's a boat. Jesus spent a lot of time on a boat, you know. But I think he has a little different idea of what we treasure and how we treasure it. So I'm going to jump right in. This is Matthew 6:19 through 24. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Amen. So here we see that Jesus refers to our treasure in three ways. There's kind of a breakdown of three sections of this passage. And the first is he refers to treasure in relation to our heart. And then he refers to treasure in relation to our eyes. And then treasure in relation to who or what we worship. And so that's how I'm going to work through this passage this morning. It reminds me of what Brent said last week, that there's no earth-shattering new information to dig up and find on this passage. And many of us have probably heard it. But even as I was preparing this week, I was like, oh, I probably need to be reminded of this like regularly. I need to hear this message again and again because I'm so easily drawn to certain treasures. So let's jump in about the heart, where Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy things and where thieves can break in and they can steal." And it says, the end of that phrase is, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as I was reading this week, I thought, that's interesting, because for me, if I was going to write this, I would say, where your heart is where your treasure is. But that's not what Jesus says. But we think often it's the opposite, right? If you were to ask me, I would say, yeah, I choose what I care about, and I choose what I invest in, and then we make decisions, and we put our money there, and we spend our time there. You know, I think that that's normally true, or that's what we would think is true, probably many of us in this room. But Jesus is actually saying, where you invest, where you put your time and your energy and your money and your focus is actually where your heart will follow, is actually what your heart connects with. Jesus is saying that your heart follows your treasure, that whatever you prioritize, whatever you protect, whatever you treasure, becomes what your heart cares about. It determines what your heart is all about. And it made me think of, Matthew a number of years ago started investing a little more in our 401k, and we were not like stocks people at all. Obviously, that is not me. It's not even really Matthew, but once we invested a little differently with our 401k, he started like following the stock market and watching, you know, what's going up and what's coming down. And then he would be excited and tell me, like, when things were going up and when things are going down, it's like, ooh, this is worrisome. And I started to see, like, okay, his heart is getting connected to this, and mine too. You see what I mean? Like, when you have an investment in something, suddenly you care about it, right? When you've got some skin in the game, you care, you think about it, you check in on it, you pay attention to it, you learn about it, you invest in it because you want to know. And so your heart follows your treasure. And so will our treasure be about boats and TVs and clothes, and will our hearts be about those things, or will our hearts be about the things that God cares deeply about? Even beyond Jesus, I was looking around on the line and I'm like, oh, even financial planners and a lot of financial folks say that, you know, they won't actually listen to what you tell them are your priorities initially. They're like, first show me your budget. First show me what you're spending your money on, and then I'll tell you what you care about. There was a quote that said, don't tell me where your priorities are. Show me where you spend your money, and I'll tell you what they are. And then I had this like panic moment of like, whoa, what would people think if they saw my, you know, bank statement throughout the week? I'm like, Target, Starbucks, all these things. Your heart follows your treasure. And so Jesus is saying, you need to pay attention to that. Pay attention to what you treasure. Pay attention to the things that prioritize your time and your money and your energy. And he says, and then those are things that should be eternal. Invest in the things of the kingdom of God, because as you invest in the things of the kingdom of God, your heart connects to God, to Jesus, to the kingdom of God. And those are the things that last. Don't you want to invest in things that last? You can invest in and have treasures all you want in your earthly life and all the stuff. As Americans, we have so much stuff. I was thinking about a show I used to love called Storage Wars. Did anyone ever watch that? And it was like whole storage units that they would auction off to folks, because it was like people had just left them. Like after a certain amount of time, they hadn't visited and hadn't paid their dues or whatever. And so they would just auction off all these storage units. And then it got me thinking, I'm like, I feel like storage units is probably a Western world kind of thing. So I started looking it up. Any guesses on how much Americans spend on storage units? Throw out a guess.
$10 billion.
$38 billion. $38 billion on storage units. And that's not the stuff in them. That's the storage to store the stuff that doesn't fit in our houses. We are obsessed with stuff, and we invest in stuff. And for me, it might not be that. It might not be a storage unit full of stuff, but me it's like deals. I'm getting good deals, you know? Or it might be like I'm investing in this savings account, and I keep investing and investing. And that's not a bad thing. And stuff is not a bad thing, and deals are not a bad thing, but we just need to know that those things don't actually last. Jesus says those things can be stolen. Your savings can be stolen. Your stuff can be stolen. Your storage unit can be auctioned off. Those things do not last, and nothing is really left. Matthew's grandpa died years ago, and he told me a story after this happened that he went to Corydon for the estate sale. So his grandma was going to move out and move to a new location, and so they had an estate sale. And, you know, since Matthew was a baby, he'd been going to that house, and they had their kids there and their grandkids there. I mean, that was kind of the image of, you know, of their family. And so they did this estate sale and were there working it all day and that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, Matthew said that he'd found out, he'd done some math and talked to some people and found out that all of his grandparents' stuff that they sold that day, all of it added up to just over $1,500. Just over $1,500. And he talked about, I remember him telling me the story, and he was like, it was this moment for him where he was like, what? All of their treasure, like all of who they are, and you know, all the memories I've had in that house, like everything is just worth just over $1,500. That feels so sad. And it feels like it has no value, but it did have value, you know, and just wrestling with that, like, oh, it feels worthless. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Our stuff actually is not that valuable. Because really, if you think about it, what Matthew experienced, it wasn't the stuff in his grandparents' house. It wasn't the house itself. It wasn't, you know, it was the experiences that he had with his grandparents there. It was the wisdom that his grandma and his grandpa invested in him and gave him when he needed it. He would go to school after school. He would go to his grandparents every day and spend time with them and eat his grandma's cooking. And those moments are eternal. The stuff is not. The stuff doesn't matter. The stuff is worthless. It's fleeting. It can be stolen. It can be eaten and destroyed. But what lives on is Matthew's grandparents' legacy in his life, the love that they shared deeply with him, the ways they invested in his heart, in his soul, in his person, in his character. And now those things live on in Matthew, and now they live on in our kids. Those are the things that are eternal. And I hear Jesus saying this, don't worry about the stuff. Why are you obsessed with stuff? And I think about even the audience that Jesus would have been talking to during the Sermon on the Mount, they wouldn't have had anything. I kept thinking about, what would he say to us here today? There were no storage units, you know, when Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. The way we even understand, there's not a top 10, their top 10 list would have looked very different than our top 10 list. And even with them, he was saying, hey, do not invest in the physical things, Invest in my kingdom. Invest in me. Invest in the things of heaven. Invest in Jesus. Let Jesus be your treasure. Invest in your relationship with God and your relationship with people and the values of the kingdom of God and the things that he cares about. Invest in those things because they last. And then we see him go on to talk about the eyes, and it's a little unique. It's kind of bookended, or like in the middle of two bookends here. We've got the heart talking about money and treasure and money at the end, and there's this thing about eyes in the middle. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And I think Jesus is saying, just like the fact that your treasure and what you care about, what you invest in, reveals your heart, your treasure impacts how you see things. When you treasure earthly things, when you're focused on your sporting equipments and your boats and your fast food budget and your vacations and all those things, when you have a focus on gaining more and getting more and investing in those things, your eyes can't see things clearly. Your eyes become clouded and darkened by all the stuff, by all the desires that are not of the kingdom. As we think about earthly things, we're not able to see clearly the kingdom of God and the gifts that God has for us. Your eyes are clouded and darkened. One commentary talked about how a focus on riches and earthly treasure, he used this phrase, like, it lulls us to sleep with the comforts and the things, and we don't even realize that we're walking around, stumbling around in the dark, sleeping, because we're distracted. We're so focused on all these earthly treasures. And it's so easy for us to live this way. That's why I said I need to hear this message over and over and over. We can live this way so easily as Americans in particular. I'm not trying to get down on America, but we are consumers. That's such a key part of our culture. And we constantly receive, and it's very subtle, but we constantly receive messages that things and stuff is what gives us life and what gives us joy. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not like that. I'm not, you know, attached to stuff. And I think the same thing. But over and over this week, as I was thinking through this passage and reading and studying and praying, I just kept thinking of, like, there's so many ways, even simple ways, that I invest in earthly treasures, and that actually earthly treasures really do matter to me. I'm on Instagram following these people who have cute shoes, and then I'm like, let me go look at those. I mean, really, like, oh, I'm gonna be happier if I have those, or like, there's a way that those will really bring me joy or life, you know? But we see that on our commercials, through social media. I mean, our neighbors, like, we are constantly bombarded with buy more, do more, so that you can get more. And it really takes intentionality, I think. It takes real intentionality to pursue investing in things that are not physical treasures, to pursue investing in eternal treasures. It's countercultural. And I think that's what I've experienced this whole, as we've been hearing these messages through the Sermon on the Mount, this whole time I keep thinking, wow, it is so, following Jesus is really so different than the world around us. And it takes intentionality. I mean, we have like almost like DNA from the culture that we're constantly surrounded by. And we have to actively walk in the opposite direction, actively, intentionally pursue something different, the kingdom of God and Jesus and eternal treasures. I see this even in my kid. Pearl is only 5 years old, okay? And she's already so materialistic. And I'll just admit it, hopefully some of you out there will nod your heads in agreement, and I'm not the only one, but I have a five-year-old who's already obsessed with, like, toys and getting more and needing more and wanting more. It doesn't even matter what it is, she just wants it, you know? And it's like Nana's, she's going to Nana's, Nana's probably got something for her. You know, Miss Sally stops by, Miss Sally's probably got something for her. We're going to the gas station. At the gas station, she's like, we're going in to go to the bathroom and get a drink. And she goes, I'm going to go to the toy aisle. I said, there's not a toy aisle at the gas station. Sure enough, there's a little end cap with toys at the gas station. We were on vacation. We went to the hardware store to get, like, a pop-up chair. She's like, gone. Where is she? There's a toy aisle at the hardware store. she sees toys and stuff everywhere. And she, you know, she watches on, this is a thing, kids watch on YouTube, they watch other kids play with toys. That's weird, right? That's weird. If you don't have kids, it is very weird, but it's a real thing. It's not just Pearl, okay, right? Okay. And so then she sees all these toys and she's like, I need that. I need this. I want this. And we're constantly having to talk to her. Matthew's dragging her out of the store in tears. She's crying. Sometimes he is too, or me. But, you know, having to say, no, no, you don't get another thing. And that's not, this is not going to make you happy. These are not the kinds of things that we invest in, you know. But when we pack up snacks and stick them in our car, because we see homeless folks all the time in our neighborhood, and when we see them, we stop, roll the window down, and Pearl gets to hand a bag and say something to this person, and this joy that she gets, that's eternal treasure. That's so much better than a junky toy, you know, from a gas station. And so we're trying to teach her that. And as I'm teaching her that, I'm like teaching myself, because the reason she loves Target is because I love Target, you know? It's so embedded in us and who we are. And I was thinking, just talking with Matthew, I'm like, what have I ever experienced not being, you know, surrounded by stuff and the lure of stuff? And I was thinking about, I mean, this is going to sound stereotypical, but I was thinking about when I left the U.S. and I spent a couple chunks of time in over summers in Ethiopia. And I remember being so stressed the first time I went. I took students and we did some cross-cultural exchange and just enjoyed college students in Ethiopia and worked and served there. And the first time we went, I remember the person who was helping us organize the trip said, you can just bring one bag. And you just need to bring one bag because it will be very odd if you show up with many bags to a place where people just don't value stuff in the same way you do. And so we're all complaining about it, you know. They're like, just bring a few changes of clothes, you know, and a toothbrush, and in a small bag, and you're good. Something you can carry on. And I can remember all the college students I was working with freaking out about it, like, what are we gonna do? You know, and I was too, to be honest. And then we got there, and I began to realize it didn't matter. Part of the culture was relationship. The culture was that you value each other's hearts and souls and time together, and I didn't miss my stuff. In fact, it was kind of nice. When I came home, you know what I did? I washed my clothes and I kept wearing some of the same things that I wore in Ethiopia because I was like, it's nice to not have all this stuff. There was freedom. I didn't have my phone on me all the time, and that felt freedom. Like, there was a way that actually we lived more simply and we lived with people who lived more simply, and it was deeply joyful and deeply freeing, because what I was able to focus on, I wasn't getting ready all the time in the morning and picking out clothes, and I wasn't busy trying to like shop on Amazon or go shopping on the weekends or whatever it might be. Cleaning. I wasn't busy cleaning my giant house. I had a little tiny room that I could just tidy up real quick. And my focus there, and our focus there, was each other and people's hearts and Jesus and scripture and praying together and laughing together and playing. And there's something so beautiful about that. And Jesus is inviting us, as followers of Jesus, we can do that here. You don't have to go on a mission trip somewhere to do that. Do that here. What if we made it part of our lives to just live more simply and to invest our time and our money into the things of the kingdom and the things God cares about? And then finally, Jesus talks in this passage about worship and how our treasures are related to our worship. And this is like classic passage that we've all been judged and condemned with or felt shame about many times. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. It's so easy, like I said, to prioritize our stuff, earthly wealth and money and treasure. And what happens is that instead of it serving us and kingdom of God priorities and the work Jesus is doing, we begin to serve our money. We serve our money. And worshiping something or serving something or being mastered by something is simply when something dictates your life over and above other things. When you have a driving force behind everything you do. And if we're really honest, if we really look internally and look at our lives and our budgets, I think a lot of us would say, actually, yeah, money in a lot of ways, money does drive what I do day to day. Money does dictate so much of our lives. And some of that is just realistic. It just has to because of the place that we live. But I think, again, as followers of Jesus, there does feel like there's a call to say, what if we didn't do that? What if we lived more simply and we didn't get caught up in all the stuff and let money become our master? What if we didn't let money dictate our life? We spend so much time making money and working and trying to afford all the things that we need, and then you have to store it, you have to clean it, you have to figure out what to do with it. It's just so easy for earthly treasure to become our priority. It becomes, for me, it becomes a time suck. And then what happens is that my stuff and my money actually demands more from me than it deserves. Money and stuff becomes my master. And money is not meant to master you. Money is meant to serve you and to serve the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom of God. So how do we know when money has become our master? I asked myself this question this week, like, is money my master? And how do I know? And I often think about it as just like, I'm like, it can't be my master because I don't have enough of it. You know, if I had boats, if I had all these things, then it would master me. But I don't have all those things. And actually, I felt like Jesus was like, that's not true. You worry about money a lot. And so we know that money has become your master. It dictates the way you think and the way you do things when you worry about it. You don't have enough. And you worry about it. And you don't, when you worry and you don't trust, you're not trusting God's provision. And we'll talk about that next week. As we continue on in this Sermon on the Mount, you know what's next? The do not worry. Don't worry about what you'll wear, what you'll eat or drink, or, you know, your Father in heaven loves you and will provide for you. Has money become your master? Do you worry about it over and over and over? Do you hoard it? Do you forget that it's God's to begin with? You think it's yours and you just want to collect more and more and you want to keep it. As we always talk about like stewarding our money, stewarding our things well in God's kingdom. Stewarding is just, it's taking something that is not yours, that's something that's been given to you and then using it wisely and doing with it what you think the owner of it would want you to do with it, right? So we have been given gifts and resources by God, and it's our job to actually distribute and not hold tightly to those things. In Proverbs 11:28, it says, those who trust in their riches will fall. If we hoard it, if we need it, and feel like we can't get enough of it, we will fall, but the righteous will thrive. And then finally, if you crave it, if you're craving it, this sense of like greed, essentially is what that is, where you feel like you just need more. It's never enough. You always need more. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, whoever loves money never has enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied. And so this morning I want to ask you, I want to give you just a minute, even on your own, in quiet, you can even shut your eyes. What do you treasure? What do you treasure? Because Jesus says, whatever you treasure, whatever you prioritize, whatever you spend your time and your energy and your money on, that's where your heart is. What do you treasure this morning? What occupies your thoughts? What do you worry about? What do you measure others by? What is it that you can't be happy without? What do you treasure? And I don't want this to be like shame or guilt. And that's, again, these are all things I was just wrestling with on my own this week. That's what you hear. When you hear, you know that? When you hear a message from me, you hear what I've been wrestling with. And so I'm with you. I'm asking the question, Jesus, help me see what I really do treasure. Help me be honest with myself. Clear my eyes from the clouds and the darkness and let me actually see what are the things I treasure, because I do want my heart to be in line with Jesus and the kingdom of God. And so this isn't about shame or guilt. It's an invitation from Jesus. And I feel like on the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is saying this to all these people watching and listening closely and carefully, what he is saying to them essentially is, I am your treasure. Look in front of you. I am your treasure. Give me your heart. Treasure me. Invest in me. Invest in the kingdom of God that I'm building. And it will satisfy you and it will last. And I think about Paul. He talks about, you know, learning to be content in all circumstances. He learns to be content when he's got a lot and when he has little. And you know why that is? And he's got a secret. And what's his secret? His secret is that Jesus is the treasure. His secret is that he has contentment because it doesn't matter if he's got a lot or a little. He's got Jesus. Jesus is the treasure. I think about even like the parable of the hidden treasure, the treasure that's in the field, and a man finds this treasure, and it's the kingdom of heaven, and he hides it, and he runs back, and he sells all his stuff, and he goes back, and he sells everything so that he can have this treasure. The treasure is Jesus. The treasure is Jesus and his kingdom. And it's an invitation for us, because a life with Jesus, as we treasure him, as we treasure his stuff, his kingdom of God agenda, his kingdom of God values, and the things that he cares about, as we let folks into our, use our building for folks who need extra care, and we invest our money and our time and our energy in these families and these kids, we are saying, Jesus, you are our treasure, and we want to invest in that. We want our hearts to be with you, Jesus. So there's an invitation from us this morning, not shame, not guilt, an invitation. Let's pray.